Welcome to the Hollowell Manor. I'm Max.
And I'm Tina.
And we are here to discuss episode 5 of season 6 of Charmed.
Love's a Witch.
This episode is competently written and therefore less fun than last week, but...
I had a good time watching this episode, and you did too.
No, it's a solid episode, although it does kind of feel like it was written by someone who wasn't, like, all that familiar with Charmed. Like, I'm not saying this is a good thing, but this show has a very clear delineation between what a good witch is and what an evil witch is.
Okay, but does it...
No. I mean, like, specifically, if you have energy balls, you're a bad witch.
You're acting like they don't play fast and loose with the rules all the time.
No, I mean, again, Charmed. But I'm just saying, like, this whole weird morally neutral witch thing, acknowledge in the plot as being morally ambiguous witch thing, like...
Yeah, it's weird.
Also, a little sad Rose McGowan was kind of on not give a shit mode this episode. Like, this is basically... This episode introduces Richard, who is basically Paige's only long-running love interest until, I guess, the cop she marries in the last season. She needed to end up with someone, apparently.
Okay, let me...
Henry.
Let me give you a little secret that I know from reading Rose McGowan's memoir. So I guess not a secret because it's like literally in print.
Mm-hmm.
She never gave a shit at all about Charmed in any way, shape, or form. And she is very open about that fact.
I feel like she was at least trying a little harder in the first season she was in.
I honestly, the fact that she is so competent and cared so little just is a testament to her talent as an actress.
So, also, Paige... Okay, so let's just get into the episode. Paige is complaining about the fact that she never gets any good jobs at her temp agency, something she signed up for to get away from magic, but now magic is sending her on magic-specific missions through the temp agency, although apparently not, you know... Like, the temp agency isn't, like, a magic temp agency. It's just magic is hijacking her jobs for fate or whatever. If she was so hep about having a life that was outside of magic, why didn't she go back to being a social worker?
That is a great question. I have a different question.
Yeah? Was it why I used the word hep?
No, what? The jobs that they're sending her on these at this temp agency. Okay, there's a cashier, a computer programmer... A greeter at Yarn Mart. Like, what is this world where you reach out to a temp agency for these roles?
Yeah, I thought temp agencies mostly, like, had you do office work, right? Like,
yes, yes.
Like, you go somewhere and you do data entry or copying.
Like, you know what you do when you need an extra cashier at a grocery store? You don't call a temp agency. You just... So now you just go online and look at one of the, like, million of resumes that has been sent to you.
Mm.
But you just hired the kid who walked in the door. You know how I got my job in college at a grocery store?
Walking in the door?
More than walking in the door. I'm not saying this to, like, sound like a boomer here. I'm talking about, like, the way retail jobs work.
Oh, okay.
I walked in when my best friend was in the middle of quitting because he was going back to school. And I was actually there to pick him up. But I was looking for a job because I was in between semesters, so I needed a job.
Hmm.
And he was like, oh, hey, I need to put in my notice. You should hire Tina. And that's how I got the job.
Yeah, right after I graduated college, I went to the Prudential, the mall in Boston. And I applied to basically every store just, you know, to make money while I was looking for something more permanent. I did not get any of those jobs. I did get a job as a bathroom attendant at the Theater at the Wilbur. So much personal information about me just going out in the world right now. But a job that does not sound glamorous and was not. But I made a surprising amount of money for very, let's be honest, very little work.
I feel like you wouldn't make that kind of money today because people don't carry cash as much.
Probably not. I mean, my main... But I would go there for, you know, about 3 hours. I'd make anywhere from 70 to 300 bucks, depending on the crowd. Ideally, my ideal clients were always older and, like, older middle-aged and either very conservative or gay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did well, like, I think the most money I ever made was at a Ted Nugent show. Like, I Ooh. Made, yeah, I didn't feel great about it, but I made money that night. Like,
redistribute that wealth.
Yeah. And, God, maybe the Go-Go's. There was this one, like, old girl band.
With the Bangles?
Oh, I think it actually might have been the Bangles. Yeah, I did well at that, too. It's weird that those two circles overlap. There was a Tyga show before he was, like, big, and mm-hmm. I did terribly at that. Which, yeah, of course I did terribly at it. It was, like, all 14-year-olds. I mean, my main... I was mostly there so that people would feel awkward about doing drugs in the bathroom, and theoretically not.
I think you were also there to keep people from having sex in the bathrooms.
Yeah, probably. Basically, if you
see... You were the fun police.
Yeah, if you see a bathroom attendant, it is both because it gives a place a touch of class, and also to stop you from doing drugs, having sex, or a lot of things in the bathroom. Although I still had my fair share of people with interesting personalities. But you know what? You're not here to listen to Max's fun bathroom tales.
Oh, my. So speaking of fun bathroom tales, ew, why?
Yeah.
Anyway, Paige gets a job at a nursing home emptying bedpans, and that's what we cut to.
Hey, wow, that actually...
Oh, yeah, I was being legit.
Yeah. So Paige finishes cleaning out the bedpan, and then, you know, sees her client. She's like, hey, do you want to play Canasta? I'm here to keep you company, not just clean your bedpan.
Okay, so her cards are, like, laid out face down. So clearly what happened is they were in the middle of a game, and then she, like, got called away to clean something up. So, yeah. But they're doing the thing. They're, like, clearly bonding. Like, Paige likes playing cards with this older woman, and, you know, they're things are going well, and then an energy ball comes through the window and slams into Paige, and, like, okay, she
and the old lady, like, the old lady's grandson comes running into the room, and he's like, Grandma, are you okay? And she's like, it's okay, it didn't hit me, I'm fine, it just hit some nobody over there.
Okay, see, what I'm focused on is that the energy ball hit her on the back, but her giant gaping wound that I can't believe they showed on TV is on her front. Like, it's just really bothering me.
It's always weird when Charmed has actual violence in it, which happens more than you'd think. It used to be like a once-a-season thing, but I feel like they've been amping it up recently. Like, the Three Blondes episode had a Piper was critically injured in that, too.
Yeah, but it's like a surprising amount of blood. This is the kind of thing I would expect to see her get hit by the energy ball and then sell it by falling on the ground, but...
Yeah.
Like, I guess Rose McGowan didn't feel like acting this week, so they painted her with corn syrup instead.
If only she had a white lighter who could heal.
Although, if only she could heal.
Yeah. Get off your ass and learn how to heal, Paige.
I guess she couldn't heal herself, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Why can't they heal them?
Why anything on this show?
Although apparently self-healing is a thing Leo can do. There was a thing when he lost his powers where he mentions not being able to self-heal anymore. But, I mean, how often did you do that?
I thought he could never self-heal. That's why he had to, like, switch powers with Piper that one time.
I think it's only Dark Lighter stuff. I think if a White Lighter is injured by something other than Dark Lighter stuff, they self-heal.
Okay. So, when we get our opening montage of San Francisco, when we come back from credits, there are a lot of, like, really weird shots looking down on the Golden Gate Bridge with, like, cloud cover and stuff, which I feel like they obviously put there because we're going to start using that as Elderland, but they weren't ready to do it yet, but they were like, oh, but we have these shots!
We're going to plant the seeds for Elderland being inexplicably the top of the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm sorry. We have to talk about Phoebe being
the worst.
Like, why is this the direction they decided to take this character in?
Reality writes the plot.
Oof. she's levitating and, you know, she's meditating and she's levitating because she's that good at meditation and also it's her witch power. And she's like, Piper, do you have to vacuum in here? And Piper's like, yes. It's a house. I have to clean the house. And she's like, I wish you would keep it down. Not the vacuum. Your emotions. Phoebe, you have your own room. You could be at literally any other part of this gigantic house.
Okay, let's all be serious about how happy Phoebe is that her new power is the power to make literally everything about her all the time. Oh, you're injured? You're injured, Paige? Oh, I feel your pain so much I can hardly cope. Oh, Piper, you're stressed out because you're a young single mother? Go be stressed out somewhere else other than in the living room of your own house. Because I can't help but feel all of your stress. Oh, Chris, you're worried because your parents are divorced and now you might not exist? Please take your existential dread somewhere else. Spoiler about Chris, by the way.
Oh, my. I mean, it's kind of on him for... Have we talked about on this show yet how Chris is directly responsible for his parents splitting up before he was conceived? Because this is, like, the number one thing you're not supposed to do as a time traveler, and it's literally the first thing Chris did when he came back in time.
Okay, in fairness to Chris, a phrase I will not say often, in fairness to Chris, the reason he came back in time was to stop his brother, so he couldn't help but interact with his parents.
But he didn't need to split them up. Like...
Yeah.
I honestly don't think he needed to make Leo an elder for his plan.
He did, because he needed the sisters to have the god powers, which...
Did he just assume that Leo would stop being an elder after that? Because why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so, maybe. Yeah, because he wasn't counting on getting all the elders killed.
Also, just a little heads up, I think that this is the first episode where they've officially locked down Chris's backstory.
Yeah, they don't say his backstory, but based on what happens in this episode, yeah, I definitely think that is accurate.
And we never really get we really never get a thing as to why he was working with demons.
Okay, as we were talking just now, I came up with a headcanon.
All right.
It was because he was assuming that Leo would quit being an elder, so he needed to get him off of the board until it was time for him to be conceived. That's why he sent him off. To be kidnapped by the Valkyries.
Okay.
That's my theory. It's not a smart plan, but we're talking about Chris. He's not exactly a brain trust over here.
True. I mean, but, you know, look at the genetic material he's working with.
In all fairness to Chris... all right, so Phoebe's feeling, like, super stressed because Piper's gonna go out on a date.
Also, Paige is injured but doesn't want to talk about it, which they do not follow up on this enough.
Okay, she got hit in the back, the wound is in the front, but now that she's at the sink washing it off, there's, like, clearly no wound. So, like, she was hit in the back with an energy ball and in the front with a paintball filled with corn syrup, apparently.
So, Phoebe finally realizes that everyone is irritated with her because she keeps on announcing out loud how they're feeling. And she's like, what? So I'm just supposed to stay silent about my gift? And they're like, yes. Yes, Phoebe. No one wants to hear it. And Phoebe's like, shut up. You're scared to death, Paige. I can feel it.
Okay. Did I say last time why her gift is so annoying?
Is it not because she uses it to steal scenes from other people?
That is annoying, but no, specifically what's annoying, and I do really think I said this last time, but it bears repeating. What's annoying is that the things that she's feeling empathically are things that you could also pick up from listening, paying attention when your sisters are talking. Paige is like, I'm really worried about this whatever it was that just attacked the woman at the nursing home. But clearly the powers that be put me in that position to watch over her, so now I have to overcome my concern and go over there and watch over her.
Well, it's an old family manner.
Yes. And anyway,
just important for later.
Yes. And Phoebe's like, I'm sensing that you're concerned. It's like, yeah, Phoebe, we just said those words with our mouth.
Paige pushes an apple into Phoebe's mouth and walks out of the room.
She doesn't push it into her mouth. She orbs it into her mouth. Let's not downplay how great Paige is. Paige, I knew that I liked Paige the best. Like, I just kind of, in a vague way, knew that Paige was my favorite. But she's like head and shoulders my favorite.
Nah, still hashtag Team Piper over here. I'm sorry, we've been watching The Circle, and now it's hard not to talk like that. But, like...
Send message.
No, we can't start talking about The Circle. So, yeah, everyone's honked off at Phoebe for good reason. Meanwhile, Chris is in hell. In lots of ways.
Yeah, so he's in hell. He is buying potions from a demon. You're right, it is weird that he's working with demons.
Well, to be fair, I guess we don't know this guy's a demon. His whole vibe is very sinister, but it kind of surprises me that he's not that shaman guy that Cole went to, that we saw that one other time.
Maybe that actor wasn't available.
Yeah, I guess maybe not.
We know he's a demon, though, because Chris says he's a demon.
Oh.
But you're right, he doesn't seem very demonic. But
and spoiler alert, later Leo doesn't seem to have, like, issues with him.
Yeah. But Chris needs a potion that can hide his secrets because now Phoebe is empathetic, so just walking around with a scowl on your face isn't going to hide things from her. And of course, Leo is still trying to dig into who it was who sent him to Valhalla, so...
He knows it's Chris.
Right, like, I mean, come on.
But yeah, the demon tells him, look, I can make the potion to shield you from the Charmed One's powers, but, I'm going to need a cockatrice egg. And the captioning spells it really weird, but I guess maybe it's an acceptable thing. It was like, it didn't have the K. It was C-O-C. It was weird. It was a weird choice. But I think it's probably one of those things that has lots of different spellings. Chris seems like he senses someone. Like, he's like, oh, fine, I'll get it. And he's like, wait, is there someone invisible here? Wait, isn't Leo's special elder power invisibility?
And indeed it is, because as soon as Chris leaves, Leo becomes visible so that we can see him.
Yeah, and the demon has no qualms about an elder being in his lair. He's just like, yep.
You know what a cockatrice is? It's really cool.
I mean, the monster, you chicken, snake.
Yeah, but like, you get a cockatrice... According to legend, you get a cockatrice.
Oh, the toad thing. Like, when a toad sits on a chicken's egg.
And, yeah, it's cool. Anyway. Sorry, I like mythical monsters.
We have also been watching Delicious in Dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
So, Paige has returned to the scene of the crime. This is really kind of set up like a mob thing, or I guess Hatfields and McCoys, or what they go.
No, definitely mob, because this is really giving me... The Godfather gated cul-de-sac vibe.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. This is definitely mob.
So Paige is trying to get in, she's hitting the buzzer, and a guy walks in from across the street and he's like, hey, so you should probably not stand between these two houses because I don't know if you noticed, but there's a war going on. And Paige is like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, of course you do. You think you're the first person? You think you're the first person the powers that be sent? We've had elves. We've had white lighters. We've had muses. We've had conflict resolving spirits. What do you think? Like naiads?
Sure.
Wash away your problem.
Yeah. And he sees that she's a witch. He's like, oh, you're a witch like us. And she's like, wait, there are other witches in the world? And she just seems very confused by the existence of other magical people. Which I guess makes sense because the Charmed Ones don't interact with other magical people, but she does. She's like the one Charmed One who actually goes and interacts with leprechauns and
stuff. She nearly gets an energy ball to the face for her trouble.
Yeah, it's true.
The guy in the sweater tackles her out of the way, so I guess they have to date now.
Yeah. If you tackle someone out of the way and then you end up on top of them, then that's how relationships start. Haven't you watched Farscape?
You know I have. Speaking of relationships starting, Phoebe is getting Piper ready for her date, and she's like, "I sense you feel nervous about your first date." And Piper's like, "You know, with my power, I wouldn't orb an apple into your mouth. I would just blow you up, right?"
Phoebe's like, "Well, think about how hard it is for me. I'm feeling it when any of us has a period."
Yeah, now I get three times the periods that a non-empath would get. Why stop there, Phoebe? Why not just say you have all the periods of everyone in San Francisco who has periods?
Meanwhile, Phoebe is talking about how she needs to go help Paige because Paige is so concerned with her powers that be side mission, B-plot mission. Even though it's the A-plot. This is really the B-plot.
Yeah.
Phoebe's talking about how she wants to go get meddling in the A-plot. And Piper's like, "Well, Paige told us she wants us to back off." And Phoebe's like, "But I sense that what she really wants is for us to help." And it's like, oh, this is why everybody hates empaths.
And she tells Piper that it's really important that Piper goes out on her date because she can sense that she needs it, but not in an empath way, in a sister way. And Piper's like, okay.
Which is doubly annoying because she had just said, it said when she was complaining about being an empath, she had just said, "It's a good thing no one in this house is having sex." And it's like, ew. Ew.
Well, remember, she already felt horny towards Piper when the bartender... Yeah.
No.
So, Piper's date comes to the door, and he's got a very third least attractive guy in a boy band quality to him.
Yeah, he does. He's got, like, a tiny, barely there soul patch.
And, like, spiked, dyed blonde hair. It's
of the time.
It is incredibly of the time.
It was the fashion of the day. I'm tempted to say, why is Piper going out for, like, a lunch date in the middle of the afternoon? But also, she's a single mom, so I guess I shouldn't be too hard on her about that. Really, the real question, I guess, is why is Phoebe home in the middle of the day? But we know the answer to that, because she doesn't care about her job.
Yeah. And also, she's babysitting, except now Chris is here and she can foist it off on him. And Chris is like, "I don't babysit." And Phoebe's like, "Sure you do. Remember that one time we left you alone in a house full of babies and dogs when Piper was completely losing her mind due to the spell Leo put on her to help her get over the fact that he left?"
Yep, that's what happened. Chris is like, "Ooh, have Leo babysit. It's his kid, and therefore not exactly babysitting." And then Phoebe runs to get the diaper bag for Leo, which he shouldn't need because it's his kid.
Well, Leo orbs in and he's like, "I need to talk to you, Chris, about the things I'm suspicious about." And Chris is like, "Hey, Leo's here and he's the dad, so it's his problem. Bye, Dad." And he orbs away.
Yeah. And leaves Phoebe behind to tell Leo that Piper's off on a date with some other guy.
Which...
Why are they divorced?
Yeah, again, why are they divorced? He's always here. The whole reason they got divorced was because he was supposed to be trapped in heaven or whatever, and clearly that's not the case.
This whole plot is terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, Phoebe's gonna take off and go check on Paige, the thing she was explicitly told not to do.
She picks up the towel that Paige's wound was, you know...
Cleaned with,
and she casts a spell that will teleport her to the source of the problem.
That's actually pretty cool. Like, I respect this spell. The towel has a blood stain on it, so the spell she casts takes her to where the wound that caused that blood stain happened. That's cool. Respect that.
Yeah, again, this episode, we are dunking on it because, you know, podcast. But, like, this is a very well-written episode.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we're not winning any Emmys here, but like this is a really well-written episode.
Also, let's be fair, the episode is hating on Phoebe as much as we are.
Yes.
So there's that.
It just seems so weird that the show is aware of how annoying Phoebe's empathy power is. Like,
and yet they keep doing it.
Since day one, people have been talking about how, you know what? We mention it every episode because it's true, but... So, the guy who rescued Paige from getting energy balled this time is trying to explain the situation, and he's like, "Look, we have a thing with the family across the street," and she's like, "Because they're evil witches?" And he's like, "No, they're not evil. We just have
a feud.
Yeah, we have a feud. It's Hatfields and McCoys.
Like we're both alike in dignity.
Yeah, Yeah, Capulets and Montagues.
I know that actually means that they're of the same social station, but
I mean, right here they're both witches of approximately the same power, and clearly they're doing pretty well for themselves. They have manners facing off against each other. Okay, and also this is the sort of thing I would really like to see explored in Charmed more. Like, this is such a cool concept for an ongoing plot in Charmed. You have these two witch families that have been feuding for a really long time.
So long ago that nobody even remembers where it started.
And, like...
like that episode of Avatar.
Yes. Like the episode of Avatar that everyone hates.
Everyone does hate that episode.
But... And this is a family that's been, like, they've been doing curses on each other forever. Like, he talks about it. He's like, you know... we gave them boils, so they gave us mice. We turned the mice into howler monkeys. They turned the howler monkeys into snakes and threw them through our windows. Like, it's kind of this cool thing where you get, okay, this is a thing that's been going on for a really long time, so much so that it became just the background noise of all of these people's childhoods.
But this was a serious, deadly feud. He was, speaking of Romeo and Juliet.
Well, that's the thing, that it recently... escalated into being a violent thing. Like, that this has been going on for generations, but this generation it has reached a boiling point and now people are dead.
I got the impression that people had died, like, before, too, but that for a few generations it had just been, like, a... I don't want to say a
Christmas
cold war.
And Easter thing?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
But...
I think you're probably right. Like, people had died at some point, but I feel like it had been at a low boil.
He said there had been a period where they had had a truce for quite a while, and Romeo and Juliet style, he had fallen in love with the daughter of the other house, and she was killed in the crossfire.
Poor Curly Sue.
And she's still, he's got her picture on his mantle. I get that for exposition it makes sense that his dead fiance Olivia's picture would be on the mantelpiece, especially because, spoiler alert, she's going to show up as a ghost, so we need to know what she looks like. But your houses are at war. I feel like you wouldn't have the picture of the dead daughter of the other family on your mantelpiece. But, you know, whatever.
No, it's...
who am I to judge?
It's sad for you, but it comes off as aggressive to them, like a trophy.
Kind of does, now that you mention it.
Yeah. Like, we're keeping score. Also, it really reminds me of that episode of The Simpsons where they have to go to, parent classes after CPS takes their kids away. And Seymour Skinner's mom is there, and she talks about how the county's threatening to take her Seymour away, and then she holds up a picture of Principal Skinner in case you're not familiar with the show, so you know that it's a joke because he's a 45-year-old principal. Or, I guess, much, much older than that now because he's a Vietnam vet and that's still canon.
Yeah.
So, the grown-up Michelle Trachtenberg-looking ghost floats, you know, through the house... and accosts...
she comes out of the picture first, that we know for sure who it is, in case you weren't looking at the picture.
Yeah.
She goes to talk to her fiancé's father, right? She's like, hey, I was a ghost and you destroyed my life, so now I'm here to exact vengeance. And he's like, you know that there's literally a charmed one downstairs, so maybe don't do this. And she's like, no, I'm counting on the charmed ones escalating things because I never really figure out what's going on. And then she floats out of the window and throws a bolt through the window, much like the one that hit Paige. In fact, so much like the one that hit Paige that it comes through the window and the wound is on his front. Yeah. But I guess I should stop complaining about that since it's a ghost doing it.
Also, it completely blows out his chest and this dude is mega dead.
Oh, yeah. He's way dead.
And Paige, like, everyone runs into the room. There's actually a really good shot of the sun, like, running through, like, the doors blowing open and the sun running through them. And Paige, you know, also enters the room, and she looks out the window and sees Phoebe in the other house, and Phoebe, like, waves at her. Read the situation, Phoebe. They're standing over their father's freshly exploded corpse.
Meanwhile, Piper's on a date. She's at Quake.
Like, they really sloppily text edited over Quake to make it be like the hip spot or something, but like that was just Quake.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to be Quake. And in fact, I was like, oh, she's doing that annoying thing where you go to where you used to work and you're like, hey, is Kevin working today? He knows how I like my salmon. And they're like, Kevin hasn't worked here for 2 years. And they're like, oh, well, can I substitute the pasta for rice? And they're like, no. And she's like, I know you can because I used to work here and we used to do it all the time.
Maybe it is supposed to be Quake and they just changed the name. I don't get why they just didn't, if they're going to reuse the, like, Quake thing, why edit the text on the Quake sign?
Right, because either we, the viewer, either we're going to recognize that it's Quake and be like, she's at Quake, or we're not, in which case, why change the sign at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the guy's flirting with her, and he's like, you know, I just got divorced, too. Pretty sexy, huh? That means I've had, like, intercourse with a woman, and it was good enough so she wanted to marry me.
You know what's really sexy? Talking about your ex on your first date. But, okay, also, he's like, so where are you in the divorce process? Have you filed yet? Are you just separated? Where are you? And she's like, actually, it's kind of complicated.
It's not, Piper. Like, your family is publicly Wiccan. We had a hand fasting ceremony, but we weren't legally married. My husband got a promotion that took him out of the country, and we decided it was just easier to separate.
And he left the country, and we figured, eh, good enough.
Yeah. But, uh-oh, this...
I do... Okay, here's the thing, though. I'm sorry, before we get into what's going down. I do feel like saying my husband left the country, so we decided not to do long distance is sus, okay? Because...
But it's what happened, kind of.
I know, but that feels like you're not actually broken up.
Which they're not. I mean, they kind of are. It's weird when they, like, later in the season, obviously, they hook up so Chris can be conceived. But they're very clear that it's just a one-time thing. But then after that, it kind of seems like they're back together.
I mean, I guess the point is that they are highlighting that she's not actually ready to be dating because she hasn't really broken ties. Okay, I get that. That is where we are, but... I don't know. It's all...
Anyway, this date is interrupted by Piper's adult son orbing in the middle of the restaurant.
Okay, he orbs in the kitchen, and you know...
No one's ever in the kitchen.
I was going to say, no one's going to believe a chef.
Wow. But yeah, Chris orbs in it, and then he goes up to the table, and he's like, hi, I'm Piper's adult son. Don't think about it too hard. Hey, Piper, can I talk to you? And Piper's like, what's going on, Chris?
He's like, yeah, Phoebe fucked up. We gotta go deal with your fuck-up sister. Although, I mean, they don't really, because then we cut back to the manor. Phoebe and Paige have returned to the manor, which makes sense, because Paige can orb. And Chris and Piper orb in, and I feel like Chris is trying to keep himself from disappearing like Marty McFly in Back to the Future, so fair. But I don't really feel like they needed Piper for this.
To quote Chris from later in the season, look, I don't want to wake up and be half witch, half fireman.
He would be all witch in that case.
Yes. So the sisters decide to all tackle the situation together, even though Paige wanted to handle it on her own, because, haha, Paige, you thought you could do something on your own.
You thought you could have something of your own without your sisters horning in on it? No.
Okay, there is a little fantastic bit where Chris is like, okay, so now that you're all here, I'm going to leave. And Leo just, like, grabs his arm and drags him into the living room. Mm-hmm. It's a little fantastic piece of, what would you call that? Stage work?
Yeah, no, staging. Yeah, it's good staging.
Because he just, like, he grabs Chris and pulls him backwards into the room. It's fantastic. I shouldn't enjoy it because they're father and son, but I like when Leo is abusive towards Chris.
Wow, okay.
It's funny! Because he doesn't know it's his adult son. Like when Piper punched him in the face, this...
Wow!
You know, if Chris survived this season, he would need so much therapy. Although, apparently, we will talk about this when it comes up, but I'm talking about it now because this is our podcast and we can do that.
We can do whatever we want.
Apparently, Chris, from this timeline, has memories from this Chris, even though they are distinctly two different people.
Oh my god, the timeline, time travel stuff does not make any sense with Chris. Oh.
Because the Chris that is born in this timeline should not have any of the memories from bad future Chris. But later in the show, when they call good timeline Chris back, he has the memories from the bad timeline.
Well, it's confusing anyway, because remember, we've talked in episodes past about how the only way this makes sense is if this Chris's memories change as he's doing things, but they don't seem to. So, I don't know.
Also, Charmed explicitly does not work on branching multiverse theory. Like, there is expressly one timeline. So, when the bad future is officially averted, like, there is no reason that main timeline Chris should have bad future Chris's memories.
Yeah, because they never happened.
Yeah.
Like you said, they didn't happen in an alternate timeline. They never happened. So, they're discussing the feud between these two witch families, and Paige is saying that the energy ball did not come from the other house. And
also, all of these witches have energy ball powers. Like, there's no everyone has a different power thing. It's just energy balls all around.
Well, it's only the charmed ones that all have different powers.
No, that's...
Oh, you're right. You're right. That's not true. But I feel like the majority of witches that we see can only cast magic. That I don't feel like we see a lot of, like...
I don't know. Like, the psychokinetic kid, Aviva had, like, the light thing. Later, there's the guy with super speed. Or that kid... Or did we find out what that kid's deal was? The one who could make his drawings come to life?
He could make his drawings come to life.
No, I mean, was he a witch, or was that, like, he was secretly half-muse or something?
No, he was a witch. He was a witch.
Yeah.
He could get high and see the future. That's a...
So specific. I know, it's heroes. That's one of the things that bothers me with some modern X-Men stuff.
Yeah, getting high and seeing the future is not a mutant power, my guy.
Yeah, or, well, one of the ones I have is with... this guy, he's Escapade's, like, friend, and he's a mutant who has the power to turn stuff into chocolate. And I'm like, no, that is too specific. Like, that is too specific. Or that girl who has the power to smell like spiders. I'm like, no, you thought that was a fun thing, so you threw it in. That's not how it should work.
His eyes are portals to a universe that's pure chocolate.
I mean, say what you will about Cyclops' optic blasts. It makes sense from an evolutionary perspective that this would be a thing that would help you survive.
That your eyes would be portals to a universe of...
Pure concussive force.
Okay.
Remember, he only has problems controlling it because of...
That's not my issue!
Also, I want to say... I know that's a thing, but it's not the only explanation for his powers. His main one, the main thing has always been that he takes solar energy and converts it into,
concussive blasts.
Concussive blasts. Which is different from this whole stupid punch dimension thing.
Okay, so speaking of powers, Phoebe's power is to be super annoying. And, I'm sorry, I meant empathy. And she's like, oh, Paige, but... How can you really make a judgment call? Your judgment is clouded because of how horny you are, which I can feel with my empathy. Oh, I can feel how much you just want to bang this male witch.
Yeah, you want to be objective, but you can't because you're so overcome with horniness for Sweater Man. By the way, can I just say how delightful I find it whenever, like, high drama stuff is happening in Charmed and it involves, like, just dudes in blocky sweaters? Because it's so... tonally dissonant when you've got, you know, this guy in a cable knit sweater being like, yeah, we have a feud that's gone on for centuries. It's, you know, been stained with blood and dishonor. And it's like, dude, you are wearing a cable knit sweater.
God, maybe it's because I'm a 90s kid, but that doesn't throw me. That doesn't bump me.
Because Dawson's Creek was talking about Dawson having sex with the teacher and he was wearing a cable knit sweater.
Yeah. And also Charmed.
I buy them wearing, like, the sexy, you know, Phoebe's Grover sweater that shows off her entire torso.
No, guys wearing boxy sweaters. That's just how guys look.
Okay. I guess I'm not used to that many men being in Charmed then, because, like, usually Leo was in sweaters, and that was fine. And then Cole would be there in, like, a black shirt.
Or no shirt.
Yes, and or like, Daryl would be there in his, like, cop suit. But, like, having this many dudes in sweaters kind of throws me.
You know what? I love a dude in a sweater.
I'm not saying it's a bad look or anything. It's just weird to have these conversations about, you know, dark magic and demons and blood. And, you know, you're in this very well-lit solarium wearing a nice sweater.
On the one hand, I see what you're saying. On the other hand, welcome to season 6 of Charmed.
Yes.
We're glad to have you joining us.
Yes, I know.
Phoebe says energy balls don't just materialize out of nowhere.
I mean,
even though they absolutely do.
Are you pulling plasma from the air to form them? How do you think they work?
So they've decided that the energy balls didn't come from either family, so maybe there's some third family out there throwing the energy balls to stir up tension, right? Like Odysseus throwing the Is that Odysseus or Hercules?
I need the rest
like,
of the story.
Like Hercules throwing the rock between the...
Oh, I think that's Hercules.
Yeah, it was Hercules, right? Like Hercules throwing the rock between the two-headed monster to confuse it and make it fight itself.
Or, hey, here's a wild pitch for you. Maybe it's demons? You know, the antagonists of the show up to this point?
Or maybe it's the bitter ghost of the dead girl who's the first person who died in forever, which is what it is.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be more of an issue with that, because witches, you know, can physically manifest after death and still have their magic powers. We've seen Grams in ghost form, not even, like, solid-level Grams, use her powers.
But also, isn't it, like, well-known that when bad things happen to witches, they become stuff? Which is what's happening here?
Yeah, I mean, you're lucky she didn't become, like, a Fury or a Banshee or whatever. Probably a Fury, right?
A Fury, right? Because a Banshee would be, like, if her boyfriend had died.
I mean, Phoebe turned into one because Cole went evil, right? Or did she get bit by one?
I don't know. But I feel like you have to be upset to become a Banshee. And you have to want vengeance to become a Fury. That's like kind of my... It's like a slight difference.
So Banshee, so she would have been a Banshee out of the two then. Like, she would have been a Fury if her boyfriend had been killed, but she would have been a Banshee if...
No, so I think you're a Fury if you want vengeance for yourself, and a Banshee if you want vengeance for someone else. That's how I feel like it breaks down.
But Piper became one because she wanted vengeance. No, she was mad at Prue, and that's because...
Yeah.
Okay. She's mad at Prue for dying.
If your boyfriend gets fridged, you become a Banshee. If you get fridged, you become a Fury. Chris brings the cockatrice egg to the demon who makes the potion for him.
Yeah, the potion to block him out from, you know, Phoebe's horrible, horrible powers. Paige orbs to Richard. It's Richard. Richard's the, like, son who was engaged to the ghost. We kind of skipped over it earlier, but he told her that he's been immune to a lot of the curses since he no longer practices magic.
Mm-hmm. He also told her that... his fiance, she was his fiance, before she was killed, really, really wanted peace between the houses, and he wants that for her, you know? So.
He's brewing potions. Paige orbs in, and he's brewing potions because, like, he's like, look, my dad's dead, I wanted to honor my dead girlfriend's memory, but now there's a new dead person, so the priorities have to shift based on that.
Paige is like, but I was clearly sent here to organize peace, and since you're the one who is known to be neutral because you were banging someone on the other side and now you gave up magic, that means you have to be the diplomat and go over there, and he is not having it, and his girlfriend is angrily watching from a photograph on the mantle.
How many photographs of his dead girlfriend are around this house?
Like, we have a single photo to pan to if one of us goes missing. He had like 10 photos to pan to if she goes missing. Listen, if your family is having a feud and you have more than one picture to pan to, when something goes wrong, I feel like you're just inviting something to go wrong. Or maybe you're just being prepared. Well, I don't know. I guess it could go either way.
Maybe this is him being passive aggressive and he didn't have them up until after the girlfriend got killed.
Oh, yeah.
We should also mention here that both sides blame the other side for her dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not exactly clear as to who is responsible. We know she got caught in the crossfire, but each side is claiming that the other side is, you know.
And spoiler alert, the boyfriend at least, is under the impression that it was kind of an accidental caught in the crossfire and not a purposeful plan to ignite reignite the feud.
So, Piper's cooking and Leo comes in. He's like, so how was your date? And she's like, shorten. He's like, so like a gnome? And she's like, ha ha ha.
The date was short because our son came and dragged me out of it.
And Leo's like, so, are you going to use protection for your hands because you're making soup? And Piper's like, okay, look, do we have to talk about the fact that I'm dating now? Because it feels like we have to talk about the fact that I'm dating now.
But Piper is going to change the subject. She was not, in fact, cooking. She was doing a detection spell to see what exactly was going on with the shirt that Paige was wearing. And it turns out that it's chock-a-block full of ghost energy. It's filled with plasma.
Yeah, but not like regular plasma ball plasma. Like specifically ectoplasma.
Right,
plasma.
Right. Ghost stuff.
Yeah, as opposed to whatever plasma balls are normally made of in the show.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, which, you know what? I appreciate that. I feel like this is cool witch detective work.
I also like that the effect is that it kind of glows slightly in the same way that the ghosts glow. It's like it is. We're like, oh, that glowing, that's ectoplasm, and the shirt is glowing. Okay, it's nice. It's good. It's consistent.
Well done, whoever did this episode.
So now that we know that it's a ghost, Piper calls the families together so that they can have a seance and, like, speak with the ghost that's causing all this trouble.
And everyone has to hold hands with someone they hate from the other family to form the circle.
Everybody's vying to get to stand next to Phoebe because they all hate her because she's like, oh my god, everybody's just so stressed out right now. Yeah. How am I supposed to deal with all of this stress?
Yeah, you know what's making the situation better, Phoebe? You talking about it. Everyone is aware of how stressful the situation is, Phoebe. They don't need you to be like, oh my god, there's so much hate in the room coming from all directions.
Oh, Phoebe, that's not hate for each other. They're all just looking at your shirt. Your ugly, ugly ass shirt.
So the ghost is summoned and she's like, look how ghost sexy I am.
But also Richard is standing next to Paige holding her hand, and it's like, awkward.
It is kind of awkward. So none of these people tried to summon her ghost? I mean, I know there's
rules
around it.
They've just been blaming each other without, like...
You don't even need to be a charmed one to summon a ghost. Although, you need the power of three if you're Phoebe, because she's that bad at it. So, the ghost is like, hey, so I'm really pissed about the fact that I'm dead. And Paige is like, but wasn't it your goal to reunite the families? And she's like, yeah, until I got an energy ball to the face.
Richard's like, but you wanted to end the feud. And she's like, and then I died, Richard! She's like, I'm gonna kill your whole family, parentheses, in a bad way, and then I'm gonna kill you, parentheses, so we can be together.
Aww. So, and then she blorps out, and needless to say, that did not help.
It turns out it was Richard's family that caused her to die. And then her dad is all like, hey, your family killed my daughter. And they're like, your daughter killed our patriarch. So call it even.
Yeah. Let's all wash your hands of the situation. But no, everyone's more mad than ever.
And Paige is like, hey, remember when I told you guys that you were just going to make it worse? Maybe let me handle things because you made it worse.
Yeah. She runs downstairs and Olivia, right? Olivia's the ghost. Yeah, Olivia like follows her and she's like, hey, you know how possession works? And Paige is like, have I been possessed yet? Yeah, I've been possessed. Yeah, I know how it works. And Olivia's like, cool, so I don't need to explain this to you. And she blorps inside of Paige and now...
What's weird is I feel like we are meant to see Olivia as, you know, evil at this point, and that this is bad to take over Paige's body. But I also feel like at this point, Paige would be on board with this. If Olivia was like, hey, let's team up. Which she does say, but she says it in, like, an evil way.
Well, I think Paige is still against killing everyone, which is still Olivia's goal at this point. Or is now Olivia's goal, I guess.
Yeah. So, now that Paige is possessed and no longer in control of her actions, her sisters have decided to back off and let her do things on her own.
Specifically Piper. Piper's like, hey, so, remember when Paige was saying, I want to do this all by myself, and you were like, no, let's help her, and I didn't do enough to stop you? I'm doing enough to stop you now that it's, you know, far too late.
Okay. You know how we've been talking about how annoying Phoebe is?
Yeah.
So you would think that there was no level of more annoying that she could get.
But
she's in the kitchen with Piper, and she's like, Piper, you're worried. And Piper's like, yeah, of course I'm worried. What the hell is wrong with you? And she's like, you know, it's not fair. You get to just worry about things. But if I say that I'm worried, everyone tells me to get out of their emotions.
Oh my God. And they told her earlier, like, it's okay if you're feeling our emotions. Just don't talk about it all the time. Like, the problem isn't Phoebe's empathy power as much as it seems like it is. The problem is that Phoebe never shuts up about her fucking empathy power. So, ghost Olivia in Paige's body walks all sexy, sinister into a room, and there's, like, a lightning flash so we can see the ghost inside of her.
And she does, like, a slow motion walk so that we know that she's sexy.
She's got her arm on her hip, and she's like, hello, lover. It's me, that girl you just met. Definitely not your dead fiancé. He's like, you look familiar, like your dead girlfriend. Only when you smile, but
she's like, hey, so when you saw your dead girlfriend again, were you all like, oh, I miss her so much. I really wish that I was dead so I could be with her again. And he's like, it was hard to see her bitter. She's like, she wasn't bitter. She's righteously angry at being murdered. You know what? I'm on Olivia's side. Kill them all.
I feel like this is why, I was going to say we, but no, specifically you would be a bad charmed one. I would be a great charmed one because I'm too lazy to help people.
I mean, as previously discussed, I would be a great vengeance demon is what I would be.
Yes.
Yeah, if I could be any supernatural creature, I'd want to be a vengeance demon. And you know what my specialty would be?
What?
Ada's.
Yes, there you go.
I would just focus on women who wrote into Ada about their terrible husbands. You would, like, I would be the Ada vengeance demon. I would just show up at your house after you wrote in an Ada. Hey, please excuse my formatting. I'm on mobile, writing from a throwaway so that Tina the vengeance demon doesn't show up and kill my boyfriend.
It's kind of cool. Digital Bloody Mary thing going on.
Exactly!
Given my druthers, assuming like you were assuming, that you have discretion, I'd be a genie.
Okay, so would you be an evil, ironic genie who twists people's wishes? Or would you, like, actually give people what they wanted?
Depends on the client.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, I kind of try to suss out how big of a dick you are, and then, you know,
yeah,
act accordingly.
Would you lie about the rules? Because I feel like if I was a genie, I'd lie about the rules.
Oh, I'd stick to the Disney thing.
But, like, I might tell them the rules wrong, right? I'd be like, you actually have 4 wishes. And then after they use their 3rd wish, I'd be like, oh, just kidding, you only had 3.
Yeah.
Or I'd be like, oh, sorry, you can't wish for more wishes, even though you totally can wish for more wishes. Or I'd be like, oh, yeah, you actually can't wish for money, even though you totally can wish for money.
I think I'd lie to make the job easier for myself. Like, I might be one of those, although I guess you have to tell if you're one of the Barbara Eden style I Dream of Genies. You know, she was just attached to the guy.
Oh, okay.
And had to do all of the wishes, like, where you just have your master and then you serve them until they die or give you to someone else, I guess. That show might have been sexist.
It's whoever owns the lamp.
Yeah.
That she lives in.
Yeah.
That show might have been sexist.
I mean, it had a catchy theme song.
Yeah, it did. Alright, so Chris is getting his potion to hide his emotions, his no emotion potion.
Mm.
You know what show did a no emotion potion better than this show? Magicians, which we're going to do next.
Mm.
Not really. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I've been rewatching it. And as I said on Blue Sky, rewatching the first couple episodes, I was like, oh, this is too good. We can't talk about this.
But thank you.
But the further I got into it, I was like, okay, there's shit to talk about.
So this is so great because Chris is like, so thanks for the potion. What do you want for payment? And Leo's like, a pack of your lies. And Chris is like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Leo's like, why are you trying to hide your emotions? What do you have to hide? And Chris, who is honestly a pretty good liar, which I guess you have to be for your time traveler.
Mm.
It's like, I got this for the girls because Phoebe, in case you haven't noticed, has become even more annoying than usual.
And Leo's like, so you didn't get it so you could hide your emotions from Phoebe? And he's like, yeah, it's for me too. I'm also irritated by Phoebe.
So Leo's like, well, then I'm going to take the potion to them. And he takes it and orbs away. And then Chris is like, ugh, can you make me another potion, please?
And Chris is like, eh. Again, this demon is not sweating having an elder in his lair.
He's not. So,
and it seemed like he was aware of Leo being there earlier. So, is Leo working with this guy? Or
Yes. Leo did say that he had, like, bribed the guy to tell him when Chris was going to be there. So, he was totally willing to take payment and or intimidation from Leo, so.
I guess maybe the payment was Leo not vanquishing him, or
I think that level he's at, it's like, you're a low enough level demon and you make stuff that's useful that you can kind of work for either side.
Yeah, there's probably a lot. Well, if Charmed was a differently written show, there'd probably be a lot of demons like that.
Yeah,
like,
it almost feels like Charisma Carpenter's Seer could fall under that category.
Yeah. Or
if the show was better written.
Yeah, or, you know, I bet that the Charmed ones could totally just, like, call a hawker demon to steal stuff for them.
Yeah,
if they were so inclined. I bet Grams did that stuff all the time.
You know she did. So over at the other manor, not the Hallowell Manor, the other manor.
Yeah, at one of the rich people's houses, they're all fighting. They're throwing potions and energy balls and stuff's exploding.
Yes, Olivia possessing Paige is seduction of her ex-fiance is interrupted by all war breaking out.
Yes.
And Piper and Phoebe, who have said they're going to stay out of it, but are just sitting outside the house in a car, are like, oh, time to stop staying out of it.
Okay, would these people freeze or not? Because good witches don't freeze, but I guess these are a weird breed of new...
Yeah, they're like neutral witches, so they would totally freeze.
We're the people who can't commit in D&D. We're neutral. I'm true neutral. That means I can just do whatever.
Richard's mom gets hit by a energy ball and dies, so now both of his parents have been killed by energy balls and his girlfriend in, like, the span of a year. But in his parents' case, in the span of a week. He tries to throw an energy ball at the head of the other family, but Piper doesn't have to answer the question of whether or not she would freeze them because she freezes the energy ball, thus distracting him and letting him get hit by an energy ball, so I guess the feud is over now because you wiped out the whole family. Good job, girls.
Technically, we won, so yay. Paige runs over to Richard, and she's like, he's not dead yet. By the way, I'm the ghost. Orbing out. I'm the ghost, and we're going to be together in death. Bye.
She seems really upset, but I feel like having him die was what she wanted so that, you know, she could take his soul and they could be together. I don't really understand.
It's kind of optimistic, isn't it? I mean, I guess he'd kind of technically have unfinished business, but it seems equally likely he'd just zoop up to White Lighterland or wherever Grams hangs out with when she's not being a ghost.
I feel like the rules are different. I feel like you don't need unfinished business to become a ghost when you're a witch.
But I mean, honestly, in this show, it seems like you could anyone could be a ghost at literally any time.
So, you ready to be horrified? Even though he's not dead yet, she takes him into her coffin, like, next to her actual dead body.
Yeah, and she lights a candle so he'll run out of oxygen faster. Like, Jesus Christ.
It's pretty horrific.
He's probably not gonna want to be with you after he dies because of this, right?
Like, you're gonna give a ghost anxiety is what you're gonna do!
I wanted to make sure your death was traumatic on a number of levels.
I guess that's how you make a ghost. Since we were talking about that. Oh. The sisters are trying to do a spell to figure out where Paige's body, because Olivia is still in Paige's body, and where Richard are. They do the spell to summon a sister, and it doesn't work. They can't scry for her.
Why would they not be able to scry for her?
They don't have anything of Olivia's.
Paige's? Still Paige's body, right?
Yeah, but the calling a sister to you didn't work, so she's, like, not Paige enough that the spell, that magic recognizes her as Paige. And Phoebe's like, oh, I knew I should have trusted my instincts and not let her go off on her own. I just hate her so much right now.
So, so the doorbell rings and it's the parents. I guess the mom didn't die.
Yeah, I guess she just fell on the ground.
Okay, so she got energy balled and is apparently perfectly fine. But sometimes
even though her husband's like intestines came out of their body.
Maybe she's just a better witch than him.
Oh, there you go. I like that. Yeah, so she's there with the father from the other family. So they now that their kids have been killed / kidnapped, they're well, I guess that is what happens in Romeo and Juliet, huh?
Yeah. So they're like, we've decided we need the Charmed One's help, which is not a sentence you ever want to find yourself saying.
I mean, I know we've said that this is Romeo and Juliet, but like, taking the body that's not quite dead into the crypt with your body, which is both dead and not dead, like...
It's a vampire thing?
No, it's very Romeo and Juliet. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I actually, you know, well done. We even have the whole thing with, like, the priest apothecary, even though that's in the B-plot that's completely sequestered off.
Yeah. All we need is that one Cranberry song, right? Or Cranberry's... love me, say that you love me, and we'll have the full Romeo and Juliet.
You know what? This episode's really well crafted.
Yeah.
All right.
Weird, right?
I don't even know what to do with that. Yeah, so the parents show up to get the help from the Charmed Ones and bringing their kids back to life.
Yeah, they figure out where, you know, Olivia is because magic. And Piper just blows the shit out of the family tomb.
Oh, I don't get the impression that they figured out from magic. I think the parents were just like, she's probably in the crypt. Here's where our crypt is. Because we just go from them entering the house to, as you said, Piper blowing up the tomb.
So Paige barfs up Olivia's ghost, and Olivia's ghost is like, you're too late. He's already dead. And Paige is like, no. No, he's not. And the sisters are ready to vanquish Olivia, which is weird because normally don't you need to be a ghost or burn the bones or something? Or,
yeah.
Like, there are a couple of ways to kill ghosts in Charmed, but I think they just have a potion or something ready for her.
Yeah, they do. Okay, but I like this because Paige says to Phoebe, no, I know you felt her anger, but I felt how much pain she's in. You can't even do one fucking thing right, can you? Can you, Phoebe? I'm a better fortune teller than you are. I'm better at understanding emotions than you are. Why are you even still here?
I can probably levitate better than you, because levitation's a White Lighter thing, so I bet I have it down and I just haven't mentioned it because I don't want to make you feel bad. But Richard wakes up and he's like, yeah, I'm not dead at all. What the fuck were you talking about? And the speech Paige gives a whole speech to Olivia about how she's like, look, I know you're mad because people killed you, but get over it, like, whatever. And Olivia's like, I never thought about it that way. I'm going to ascend bodily to heaven. Sorry about that guy I killed.
Yep, Olivia.
Sorry, heals. I killed your dad, Richard.
She heals her in her pain and she gets sucked off. That's a reference to the TV show Ghosts, by the way.
Yes. Which, you know what? Is good.
It is.
I was kind of iffy on the US version when we first started it, but I've watched it multiple times, and I think I ended up liking it more than the UK version.
I've definitely come around to it. Listen to our analysis of the UK version versus the US version and our upcoming podcast in a few years. Welcome to...
Translating... I don't know, it would be... Welcome to America, wouldn't it?
I don't like that, though. That sounds too something. But yeah, that is what it would be.
Welcome to your American remake.
Huh. We'll workshop that.
So, Phoebe has once again, you know, the battle's done and we kind of won, so we sound our victory cheer.
Let's be clear here. Phoebe's not worried about all of the people that died during this episode. She's just still upset about how annoying her power is.
Yes, now that we've resolved the main issue of the plot, we cut back to Phoebe, who is once more isolating herself, although this time in the attic and not in the basement.
And Paige is like, hey, how about you isolate yourself from me when I tell you I have a plan and I don't need your help? Yeah, it's weird that Paige's plot was... It's weird that Paige's plot was wanting to form an identity separate from her sisters to... I know I just said this episode was well written, but I feel like this was designed to contrast with, like, there being a feud between families, right? Like, all of these familial ties where she's trying to form her own identity, but it didn't quite get there. It didn't quite gel, especially considering her position as the outsider to the family who didn't find them until she was an adult. There were different things you could have done with that would have worked better. It didn't quite gel. But the point is, Chris... Ooh.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the sisters are all like... They're all like, well, I guess we just have to learn to live with Phoebe's new empathy power. You know what? No, we can't do it. We can't do it. It sucks so bad. And Chris orbs into the room and he's like, so, wait, Leo never gave you that potion I went through painstaking measures to have made that shields your emotions from each other?
I was just respect for Chris. Another thing you won't hear me say a lot. Respect for Chris and getting them to have, like, suspicion of Leo over this.
Yeah, because they call Leo and Leo orbs into the room and they're like, Leo, you have a potion that would end all of this horrible empathy stuff and you didn't give it to us? And Leo's like, well, because Chris was doing something. And they're like, shut up, Leo!
So they drink the potion. Now Phoebe can't feel their emotions, and at least that annoying part of the show will be over.
Yes. Yay.
Phoebe will now use her emotion power just as much as she uses her prophecies. Or her premonitions.
What even are her powers anymore?
Yeah, right. Cordelia has prophecies. She has premonitions.
So everyone is slightly less pissed at each other, and they all leave the room.
Chris says to Leo, looks like we're all one big happy family again. And Leo says, you're not family, which is how we know that at this point they had locked in who Chris was.
Yeah, between the sarcastic dad earlier in that, Chris takes the potion. As soon as everyone leaves, Chris takes the potion out of his pocket and drinks it, which... I mean, wouldn't that... This is the sort of thing you can't do secretly, because wouldn't Phoebe just ding to the fact that she can't feel your emotions and announce them to everyone all the time?
Also, do you need to be sneaky about this? Couldn't you say that you were also annoyed with Phoebe? I don't think that's suspicious.
Yeah. So, Leo and Piper go to talk about, like, the weird limbo they're stuck in, and she's like, hey, Leo, if it makes you feel better, you can watch Wyatt when I'm out on dates, so you'll get some more baby time, right? You wanted that?
But also, I think we need to officially get divorced. And he's like, well, we're not officially married, so that's not a thing we can do.
Like, what?
What does that even mean in this context? Fun fact, fun in quotation marks here, fun fact, pre-gay marriage, a real problem was that you would have gay couples who had built a life together, who had children, who had all of this stuff, but because they weren't officially married, there was no way to, like, do an organized division of assets and custody because there was no gay divorce. Like, when people make jokes about gay divorce, they're actually right. Gay divorce is an important right.
Yeah. Also, like, what are you, like, you're right. What are you talking about, Piper? You were never legally married. Does she just want to have a divorce ceremony? An unhand fasting?
A hand unfastening.
A hand slowing. I guess a foot slowing. Reverse both.
So Leo just stands there all sad like Charlie Brown in the doorway while she walks away. And the door...
Because Seth's on the phone.
Mm-hmm. And the door stays open because Prue has been reincarnated as Chris, so she's not there to close it. I know I said that before. But every time that door doesn't close, it's just one more, like, pin in my string board confirming that Chris is Prue.
So this episode's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, and I've been enjoying the episodes recently. Like, I really like The Power of Three Blondes. We are well into the fun bad stuff in Charmed.
Yeah, I think this season's going to be a lot of fun bad.
Like, I am ready for Magic School.
Are you?
Yeah. Lady Godiva episode.
Oh, my
God. Headless Horseman episode. Someone shoots a gnome with a gun. Also, Gideon, arguably the best non-Cole big bad Charmed ever did. Non-Cole, non-Seer.
I'm interested to talk about the Magic School seasons because I feel like I kind of hate Magic School, but I might love the way I hate it. So we'll see.
Well, I mean, the main thing about it is Gideon, who is awesome.
Yes. So, should we talk about our segments?
Yes, much like the Charmed ones, we have our own Power of Three. The first power in our pack is Premonition, who in this episode is, was, or will become famous. We both have the same really big one. I'm going to let you take it.
Wait, do we have the same really big one?
I assumed so.
Is it Olivia?
Oh, I guess not. Okay, I guess I'll do mine, which I felt like should be both of ours. It's Mako.
The
guy who plays the demon that makes the potion for Chris is Mako, who you probably know from being Uncle Iroh in Avatar The Last Airbender. Although you could know him from a lot of stuff because man was in a lot of projects.
He has done a lot, but I've watched so much Avatar The Last Airbender that the thing that was so kind of freaky was hearing Uncle Iroh's voice come out of, you know, someone other than Iroh.
You mean a real person and not an animated character?
I know. It's wrong, right? But he's one of those people who I can only think of as his voice actor now. Mine was actually going to be Olivia, who is played by Raquel Lefevre.
That sounds familiar.
Who you probably know better as Victoria, the evil vampire in Twilight.
Before she was replaced by Ron Howard's daughter in the sequel, because a bigger actress wanted the role.
But I still feel like that's...
Yeah, I mean, good for her. That was a major franchise. Mm-hmm. Anna Kendrick was in those movies.
Michael Sheen was in those movies.
A lot of people who went on to bigger and better things were in those movies. And, you know, also that guy who played Jacob, who I think is owned by Adam Sandler now.
Taylor Lautner, he's done a lot of Adam Sandler movies. He does seem to be in that crew now.
Yeah, he got added to the stable after Andy Samberg was like, you know what, I don't actually need this. I'm famous enough on my own. Fuck you, I'm going to go do other stuff. Because he really tried to get Andy Samberg for a while there.
He really did.
Like, Andy Samberg was the boy, and that's my boy.
I also have another one.
Ooh, wow. Spoiled for choice. What's your other one?
So the the boyfriend who we were like, he looks like the third member in a boy band.
Yeah.
Yeah, who he actually looks like is another villain, Sheriff Don Lamb from Veronica Mars.
Oh.
Yeah, that was Michael Mooney, who is Sheriff Don Lamb in Veronica Mars.
All right.
So this is a good episode for premonitions, like big and small. I won't say which ones are small. Not Mako.
I believe that will take us to the second power in our pack. Time freeze. What, if anything, specifically dated this episode?
Okay, so at the beginning, when she's at the temp agency, when Paige is at the temp agency, the guy who's trying to place her has all of his possible temp assignments in a Rolodex. Oof. I feel like I'm the last person on Earth who used a Rolodex, because they actually are pretty cool and useful, and even I stopped using it like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't really have one for this. I mean, maybe the sweaters, maybe people are in sweaters less these days on TV. I don't know. I don't think I really particularly had anything that, like, locked this in time.
I mean, maybe the Romeo and Juliet take, because Baz Luhrmann's Romeo plus Juliet came out in, like, what, 98? So it was, like, 4 or 5 years before this. I feel like it's a stretch, though.
Yeah, I mean, Romeo and Juliet's one of your stock plots now.
It's true.
That will take us to the third Power Nerd pack. Telekinesis, what, if anything, genuinely moved you?
Oh, nothing.
Yeah. That's the thing. I did genuinely like this episode, but yeah, no, there was no moment that I was like...
I was like, I kind of hope Richard dies so that Olivia can have her man, because I feel bad for Olivia, even though I know he doesn't.
Yeah, and I kind of want to bring up one of our secret powers... molecular combustion, because I feel like this episode really does not gel with how we've seen witches work.
Yeah, well, I mean, you brought up, right? Are they good witches who cannot be frozen or not? And Sho didn't answer that for us. And there's even a moment where Paige goes all Wizard of Oz and is like, are you a good witch or a bad witch? And he's like, that's not really how it works. Except it is how it works.
Yeah, like, the fact that they all have energy balls feels more like they're warlocks or demons or something. And spoiler alert, Richard kind of just has a budget Cole storyline going forward. It's not terrible or anything, but like, I mean, budget Cole slash a Dark Willow thing where like he's addicted to magic and Paige is trying to help him kick it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, never a fun plot. Although less actively frustrating than Cole. But, I mean. All right, I guess that'll about do it for this week.
Yeah, next time we will be talking about My Three Witches.
Oh my.
A demon creates an alternate reality that taps into the sisters' secret desires.
Oh my God, how many times did they go to that plot well? Okay.
So I think that does it for us this week.
Yeah.
Our show is partially listener supported. If you want to be one of our supporters, you should head over to our website, www.welcometotelevision.net, and click on our Patreon link. We'd like to thank our current $5 and above patrons, Beryl, Patricia, Rosa, Ryan, Maricruz, Benjamin, Kate, Jen, Dan, Anthony, and Daniel.
If you'd like to support the show in other ways, you could always rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show.
If you want to talk about this episode, or any episode, or any episode of any television show, you can find us on Blue Sky at Welcome to Television, or you can email us at ilovetelevisionzines@gmail.com.
So until next time, I'm Max.
And I'm Tina.
And this has been Welcome to the Hollowell Manor.